The Mitchell's Front Page Podcast is brought to you by Geelong Bank. Listen live on 94.7 The Pulse, Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11.
On the line from the TACs, their Manager of Media and Communications, Nick McGay, good morning.
Good morning, Mitchell.
Thanks for being on the program, and first time for 2021. It gives us a bit of an opportunity to reflect back on 2020 and also look into what's happening in the year ahead.
Yeah, I weighed up saying Happy New Year, Mitchell, but I think that's long past. Thanks for having us on. I thought I'd just have a look at last year, which, as we all know, was interesting in many, many ways. I mean, in terms of road safety, it wouldn't be a surprise to yourself or your listeners that it was a record low for the state, 211 lives lost throughout 2020. And that was, the next lowest was in 2018, which was 213. So, look, you know, it's a bittersweet thing. You wouldn't expect it to be, I guess you'd expect it to be low, but, you know, it's still, with the roads as quiet as they were, it's still very concerning for us and an ongoing, you know, an ongoing campaign for us.
Yeah, that's really, really interesting. And I suppose that maybe gave people an opportunity like the TAC to get out there and do some road works on the roads and potentially improve the safety of them.
Yes, so a lot of work was coming, was being delivered in the regions, the barriers and some of those audible strips in the middle, which all go to prevent the types of accidents which we know claim the most lives, which is the runoff lane, whether you're going off the lane to the left or running into oncoming traffic on the right. So all those works, which were part of the former road safety strategy, there were millions and millions of investment in that, and a lot of that is still continuing, but a lot of that was delivered over the last 4 years alongside our friends at the Department of Transport. And look, it's really important because if you look at the breakdown of that 211 deaths, again, regional roads were unfortunately severely overrepresented with 126 compared to 85 in the metro area.
And when we talk about those statistics from 2020, even though the number was reduced, what was the most common cause of death on the roads?
Well, yeah, still those runoff road crashes, Mitchell. So drivers accounted for just under half of those deaths, about 49%, 104. And then it was almost equally proportional between motorcyclists, passengers and pedestrians, so 32, 31 and 30 respectively. And unfortunately, we saw a spike in cyclist deaths as well, 14, which may sound low, but comparatively it's a little bit higher than previous years. So that's something I know that the Victorian government is looking at very closely in terms of the passing legislation and pop-up bike lanes. And look, I guess the sad thing is, speaking to you and your audience, is Geelong, Greater Geelong had the highest number of deaths of all the municipalities last year with 10, which came on the back of 14 in 2019. So I guess it's lower, but still not a not a title that anyone wants to lay claim to.
And were there particular roads or hotspots in our region that turned out to be the most fatal or the most likely to lead to an accident?
Look, it gets a bit hard when you're looking at numbers like that. Geelong's, as you know, it's Australia's second or third, you know, largest city outside the capitals.
Yeah.
So 10 is a little bit too small to be definitive on trends. But the year before, we actually did have a cluster around Shannon Avenue. It was quite strange, to be honest. A lot of pedestrians, and I believe Department of Transport has addressed that through a few measures. And we've also got the latest injury data as well. There's a six-month lag on that data, so this is for the financial year 2019-20. And across Victoria, there were 6,389 injuries, which was 23% decrease on the previous year, which is good. And as you know, every one of those injuries becomes a client of the TAC, so we'll always welcome a reduction in injuries because some of those injuries are just catastrophic and affect not only affect the lives of those injured, but the friends and family around them. Some of those will be with us for their lives. So it's not often talked about. I guess when you're looking at number of road deaths at 211, I'm not very good at maths, but astronomically more times that are injured.
Yeah. Yes. When you talk about the most common type of accident being run off the road crashes, how do we change that? Is that about driver behaviour or is that about the design of our roads?
it's a bit of everything. We often bang on about the safe system, which is a bit of a philosophy that's international, really. All jurisdictions who are, you know, really committed to reducing road trauma adopt this safe system, which is safer roads, safer drivers, safer speeds and safer cars, and they all play a part. You have a crash, if you've got the safest car, that's really going to mitigate it. And that's why we've seen more injuries and deaths in recent years, because where you once had a crash and perhaps died, you may hopefully get off with a light injury or at least not lose your life. And the roads, as you know, I've been on here before talking about the unprecedented investment in barriers. So that's going to stop you if you... particularly fatigue and inattention. So if you accidentally veer off and the side of the roads, you know, as you know, a lot of the roads in our region have loose gravel on the side.
Yes.
And once you hit that, there's a very low chance you're going to get control back, particularly at extremely high speeds. So definitely the high-speed regional roads and putting infrastructure off on there, because one of the things, the fundamental thing in the safe system is that people make mistakes. And I think for a long time we tried to just say, no, driver behaviour, but... You know, you mean, look, I dropped a cup the other day and it smashed.
Yes.
I know that's far less, but it's, you know, you extrapolate that out, mistakes happen. And infrastructure makes sure that they're not catastrophic. And, of course, we'll always bang on about driver behaviour, the big five, drug driving, drink driving, distraction, speed. I'm sure I'm missing one. It's not very nice of me, but you get where I'm going to. So, and then the other is safe speeds, which is making sure that speed limits are appropriate for the road environment. So it's a mixture of everything. Yeah.
And you raised the issue of the relationship between drivers and cyclists there, just in terms of the cyclist deaths. I know around here in Geelong we've got the bike lanes, the green spine, but there's also a bike lane going through one of the streets in Geelong West. It's a bike priority area. And I have to say, even though it might be a good idea to keep the bikes separated and give them priority, I've never seen a cyclist actually use that facility.
Oh, well, that's a shame, anecdotally. I'll have to look into that. We may need to promote that more. But separating bikes from drivers is, it is, you know, it's proven to be in the best interests of all road users. And, you know, Australia doesn't have a long history of being particularly cyclist-friendly compared to some of our European jurisdictions. So it's definitely something that the Victorian government is concentrating on very closely with the next road safety strategy, which was announced towards the end of last year, which will be in play for the next, many years. And that has a pretty lofty goal of eliminating road trauma by 2050 and halving it by 2030. So we'll be playing a massive part in that, as will Victoria Police and the other road safety agencies.
Do you have any early figures for this year, just in terms of how things are going now that everyone's getting back to normal? Because anecdotally as well, I've heard people suggest that maybe there's some bad behaviour on the roads, and I've actually seen quite a few instances of hooning-type behaviour, and I just wonder, maybe because people have been in lockdown, they've either forgotten how to drive on freeways, or, I don't know, they've got this desire to get out there. But is there any sort of sign that perhaps the standards of driving behaviour have slipped because we haven't been in practice for so long?
Well, yes and no. Whether it's not being in practice or people seeing the opportunity, I do know that Victoria Police last year, when the roads were particularly quiet, they noticed an increase in speeding offences. So that was people just seeing the roads quiet and going, you know, your beauty, I'm not stuck behind traffic, I can get there quicker.
Yes.
So I don't know if it's inattention or willfulness. It might be a mixture of both, but there was definitely a bit of willfulness last year when Victoria Police were, I guess, pleading with the public to, yep, while the roads may be clear, the advice still is, speed limits are set for a good reason, and you should adhere to them. So in terms of actual numbers, about this time last year, in fact, to the day, we had 40 lives lost. And at the moment, sadly, we've had 30 deaths, which is obviously 30 families, friends, colleagues shattered. So the road safety campaign never sleeps. But, you know, good to be down again, I guess, on last year.
And any final predictions for this year about what sort of a year we'll see, or even what will be the areas of focus for the TAC throughout 2021?
Yeah, so we'll continue to have a really big focus on the big five: fatigue, drink driving, drug driving, distractions. Distractions is always, well, not always, it's just emerging as something that, you know, the more the people go, yeah, we don't condone drink driving, that's not socially acceptable. There is still a cohort of people out there, which our surveys have shown that they see that as just as socially acceptable as pushing in line. So we've got a few minds to change on that matter. And it's also about reminding people, particularly new drivers, about why you should be 100% attention and abiding by the laws every time you get behind the wheel. And what I will say is, we've got the Labor Day weekend coming up, March 6th to 8th. So we'll be out there with our pause stops, which I don't think I spoke to you about last year.
No, I didn't think so, no.
No, no. So, look, they're not in the Geelong region, but they are primarily designed for people who are driving long distances. So these pause stops, they're set up on truck stops on major routes. So there'll be one at Belmatton, one at Druin and one at Morong, and you can get barista coffee. You know, it actually looks really good. Haven't had the coffee myself, but it, from looking at the photos, it looks pretty good, and there's a long line last time we went out.
Well, I can tell you that roadside coffee in general doesn't have the best reputation, so no. If you're upping that, it's probably a good start.
We're trying to change the game, Mitchell, and kids' activities and, you know, other little things like water and just a place for people to, you know, stop, rest, have a chat, making sure they're fully alert when they get back on the road. So, yeah, anyone doing a big road trip, please stop off at one of the pause stops. They're founded on good research about how to battle fatigue.
Yeah, now that's really good. Thanks for being on the program, Nick. It's always a pleasure to speak with you, and we'll catch up again next month.
Likewise. Look forward to it. Thanks, Mitchell.
Nick McGay there, the Manager of Media and Communications at the TAC, talking about some of the challenges of road safety in 2020 and where things are going.
The Mitchell's Front Page podcast is brought to you by Geelong Bank. Listen live on 94.7 The Pulse, Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 to 11. Or search for Mitchell's Front Page on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or wherever you get your podcasts.